Welcome to Amber Energy, the podcast. Each episode, we talk about what it takes to be the best entrepreneur you can be and how to take your business or your client's business to the next level when it comes to graphic design, branding, and so much more. Let's get started. What is up, Amber Energy listeners? This is your very first episode, or our very first episode of Amber Energy, the podcast. I am your host, Rachel Sedwick, and I'm joined by my co-host, Amber Jacobs, the design boss babe extraordinaire that I've described in the trailer. So thank you for all being here. We're going to first start with just like a little highlight from the week. Amber, welcome, and tell us about your last week.
Gosh, this last week has been good. I launched my brand new website, which is really exciting. Go to awesomeamber.com to check out my new improved, lovely, that is Amber Design. I've also closed a new client. I get to start on a new logo project this week, and working on some rounds of review with another website client of mine. So that's been a nice steady week for me.
Excellent. Yes. And you are in Washington State, so it's starting to get a little chilly over there, right?
It is chilly and not so beautiful outside. It is raining cats and dogs out there, let me tell you.
Yeah. I am over in Texas, and it was raining all day yesterday, but today it's finally like sunny again, but it's starting to get chilly here too. So yeah, my highlights from the week are just honestly getting through the week. I'm going to travel to Boise, Idaho this weekend. So I've been just gearing up for that and helping with the website launch for you. That's been exciting. And we have a lot of fun things in the pipeline. So just been kind of buttoning those up. All right, so on to our topic for the day. Today is the first official episode of Amber Energy. And we thought, why not start with your story? The story of Amber Jacobs, because you are a female entrepreneur, businesswoman, and you've done a lot to get to where you are. And over the course of this podcast, you know, listeners, you'll hear a lot about just where we're at with Amber Design and where Amber is at. But this podcast episode is about talking about how you got here and just your story in general. So, Amber, first question is, why graphic design? How did you decide to choose it as a career, major? Start with that.
Yeah, so I grew up on a small farm in a rural town. And as a kid, I was really into drawing my animals. So whether it be on the farm animals or even, you know, when you got school photos of your friends, I would like draw my school photo friends and like share the sketches with them because I like to draw. And so as I got older, being a kid of the 90s, computers were a thing. And I took every single art class there ever was. And then, you know, through junior high and high school, and then started taking a lot of computer classes. And this this one person from high school was Mr. Murray. And he's like, you know, you can do art on the computer. It's a new field. It's called graphic design. And I was like, well, tell me more. He's like, well, you see that billboard, you see that advertising, you see that logo, a graphic designer did that. And you can do that as a career. And I was like, huh, well, how much does one make? He's like, well, you know, like the CEOs of like, or like the marketing directors rather of like, you know, Nike or Apple, you know, you're making six figures plus. And I was like, all right, I'm in. So
it's crazy that like you went from not even knowing that it was a career to being like, all right, I'm doing that.
Like, done. That's my career because I could do art on the computer. And I was like stoked about that because it was like, you know, 90s were like of the digital age of kind of transitioning from that analog to digital. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was a part of that. And so I was like, what? So it was really easy for me then to like, go, okay, graphic design. And I looked up all the different colleges in the state that had great graphic design courses and settled on that as a career, settled on Western Washington University, sat down with a counselor and literally planned out all 4 years of how I could graduate in 4 years. And it was like, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Graphic design. That's it. Done.
So if those listening haven't picked up on it yet, Amber is very much a go-getter and a planner. And when she plans something, it's definitely going to happen.
I was like, we're going to do this. This is it. We're going to do graphic design. I was like, I couldn't even think about anything else that I wanted to do with my life. Cause I was like, my dad was like, no, you're not going to be a starving artist, of course. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I got to try to make money with my art. And the only way to do it in this world was through commercial arts, branding, advertising, and marketing.
See, it was that thing from your dad that I needed when I was in high school and decided I wanted to be an actor and decided I would go ahead and be a starving artist. And my parents were just like, yeah, do it. Have fun.
Yeah.
Later on, learned that that wasn't what I wanted. But anyway, yeah, that's really cool. It's always cool hearing that story because very few young people really like just see that future as clear as you did and go after it at the rate and with the intensity that you did. So it's cool to see. You were efficient. You got the job done.
Get it done.
So then you were in college, you went to Western Washington U. Was there a turning point in college where everything just kind of clicked and you knew you could actually do this? Like, was there a point, tell me about that. Was there that point or did you just
so many years ago now?
I know.
I guess it would be senior year is when you're kind of like, yes, I think I can do this. I'm pretty sure I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, you're learning about logo design, learning about branding. You're learning about, back then I was looking about pre-press because I actually concentrated in press print production. So you're learning about how to go to press, how to make beautiful print files. I don't know. I don't really see I had a doubt in it because I was just so focused on like becoming this graphic designer. I don't know. There was a moment where I was like, maybe thinking that I was like, compared to a lot of my other colleagues, because my college courses, my classes were really, they only picked so many for my major, right? There's a selection process and not everybody got in. So obviously you're kind of comparing yourself to some of your colleagues. You're like, oh man, my stuff's not nearly as good as this person or that person, because, you know, there were some very talented people in my class. So maybe at a point where like, oh man, this person's so good. But then you have to think about
playing that comparison game, which.
Yeah. Then you think about the bigger picture. I'm like, I always found comfort in there will forever be a need for logos, branding, and marketing because everybody needs it. And it'll forever be a need for it because everybody forever knows.
Recession proof, really.
It's really industry. Yeah. Recession proof. So, I just kind of was all in. My chips are all in right from the beginning. Yeah. I didn't really see another option.
Well, that's great. That's, like I said, it's rare. Okay. So now after college, what was your first, or maybe during college, I don't know if you did like internships or design jobs during college. What was your first designer job where you're like, you can introduce yourself and you're saying, hi, I'm a designer.
Oh, sure. Well, my first like kind of like quasi design job. So I was already working for the rec center on campus as a kind of like a staffer, personal trainer working in the weight room. So then I ended up getting a small job there as a marketing designer there. So I did that for a few quarters before graduating. So I got to work on like some of the athletic sports team marketing and collateral. So that was super fun to do in college. But then when I graduated, I got a internship. My cousin helped me get an internship at Publicis Consultants. And I worked there for 3 months, learning about everything in the industry, not just the graphic design. I learned about how to be a producer, a project manager. I got to go into the Dubs Inc. and help with preview video editing and voice editing. It was a really cool
experience. A taste of everything there. That's really
great. I really got to go, because they did broadcast and traditional marketing and advertising. So it was really kind of cool to see the gamut and be in touch with a lot of really, really talented people.
Cool. So that was your first design job. Between that and now, did you have any non-design work that you did to either make ends meet or I think there's a certain point where you got into another field thinking maybe this is what I'll do instead. Tell me about that.
I really stayed with graphic design as my main bread and butter. I knew that was my main thing, but I really, really loved fitness. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I had worked at the Wade King Rec Center as a personal trainer and in the weight training room. And so I thought maybe I wanted to try doing a little bit of personal training on the side. So I started doing a little bit of that early on, trying to do it, you know, maybe evenings or mornings or lunchtimes kind of.
Yeah, tell me about your schedule. Cause it was
between design gigs. Right?
Take your lunch break from your agency job or whatever. Yeah. And then go and clients.
Yep. I remember being at GLG and I would like have clients in the morning, run over to GLG, do some work in the morning, take a lunch break, but I'd take a client or two at lunch and then come back to the agency, work a few more hours, and then go back as a personal trainer and finish up the evening. Because the Gold's Gym and GLG were just only a couple blocks apart downtown Seattle. So I was able to kind of run between the two. It
hustle
was a crazy
was real.
I really wanted to afford life in Seattle. I didn't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah. And it was cheap back then.
And compared to now, man, I don't even know how people do it now.
Me neither. Man. Well, that's cool. So you kept fitness jobs and stuff like that to kind of make ends meet, afford your lifestyle that you wanted.
When I feel like it was more of like a hobby. Like I really liked it.
Because you also, and we'll go into this in another podcast episode specifically, you were also into competing at the time. You were a bodybuilder, right?
Not quite yet, actually. Oh, I was kind of moving that way maybe a couple of years, probably like 2010 is when I started that journey. So here's how old I am. I graduated during the recession in 2008. And so the design
great
jobs.
Time to graduate and get a job.
It was like awful that time. And so I was just kind of like doing a lot of different things at that time to just make it. And then I didn't quite discover that I wanted to do fitness competitions until a little bit later, once I got into it more and more. I didn't even know it was a thing yet. Right. So in 2008, I was just a snot-nosed junior designer trying to make it in the city of Seattle. And so I was doing a side hustle of personal training just to kind of like see what I liked and didn't like.
Well, and because, you know, hiring was probably not as big as it got in later years. So, you know, you kind of had to do stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the recession was really bad. You had senior designers trying to hold on to houses and afford families. And so they were taking junior rate work, and that kind of squeezed all of us juniors out. And so you had to do quite a bit at the time. I discovered I had to do a lot of fake it to make it in order to even get a job at that time, because businesses we're able to get like, why do I hire a junior at junior rate when I can hire a senior at a junior rate? So it was a very interesting time to try to get hired. A lot of places had hiring freezes. It was a really hard knocks time to graduate.
Yeah. But you did it and you got a job. Yeah. And you did your thing.
Oh yeah. I finally got my first gig, my first real gig. Cause my internship was only a paid stipend, small stipend, for 3 months. And I was actually, commuting from Federal Way, another cousin's house, Federal Way, to Lower Queen Anne for this gig.
And that's like 40 minute to an hour drive.
Either I drove my truck at the time, or I would take two buses to get there, for this internship, because I really wanted the internship. Because I knew it was going to open doors for me.
Exactly. And that's why
I hacked it. So I took a very small stipend for 3 months. And even then, they wouldn't hire me after the fact, because again, they were on hiring freezes. Mm-hmm. So I had to use my newfound network at Publicist to, you know, get informational interviews and try to use that new network to get my next real paid gig, which that worked out finally.
Networking is so huge in this business, as I'm sure anyone in it knows, but you got to keep doing it and doing it more and more and more all the time.
All the time.
So when did you feel like you really made it as a designer, quote unquote?
Well, because of that, like couple of years of recession, I really didn't feel like I made it until probably a couple of years in, like maybe 2010. I had got a gig at Edelman. Dave Moore, creative director, had hired me in as a contractor, and I was there for probably about a year. And I got to work on some really great brands like Starbucks, Xbox, Oboy Alberto, Amtrak,
Big brands.
Some Long Tech and a bunch of other ones. And I remember leaving the office for lunch. It was a beautiful Seattle morning or maybe lunchtime. And I remember walking down Fifth Avenue with like my coffee and like, I don't know, I was just having
a nice purse.
I don't, yeah. I had just bought like a new like ring for myself that I really, really wanted. And I was like, huh, I'm fucking doing it.
And that's the ring you're wearing now, right?
Yeah. I'm like, huh, I'm fucking doing it. I'm making it in Seattle. Like I always wanted, like I'm actually doing it, what I set out to do. And it was kind of a funny moment, serendipity moment by myself walking Fifth Ave in the sunshine.
You know,
like a really cute outfit and like really feeling good about myself. And I was like, fuck yeah, awesome. Here we go. Yeah. I was like, I'm doing it. Yay, I'm doing it.
You know, I think I've known you for 7 years now, or I don't know. I met you in 2015, 2016, and I have never heard the story of how you got that ring. And I've never seen without that ring on your hand.
Oh,
except for the time we almost lost it in the gym.
Oh, that was almost a really bad day. Yeah. This ring means a lot to me. It signifies a lot to me.
Yeah. So, I bet.
Yeah. I could tell you a story another time, or if you want to hear it now, I'm happy to do it.
I love it. Well, let's move on to the next question I have. So what would you say is the biggest lesson you learned while working for other people?
Well, I have worked for both agency life and I worked in-house. Mm-hmm. And I've also worked as a contractor for like big brands like Microsoft and AT&T. So
it's agency life, real quick, just in case listeners don't know exactly the definition. Agency life is like you're in a design agency that's like, that's all they do. So you're a designer among other designers.
Yeah.
And then,
exactly.
In-house is you're working for a design team for a brand like Nike or Brooks or something like that, right?
Yes. Yes. So like a Nike or a Brooks might hire a design agency to take care of everything if they don't have it in-house. Or like in-house, like I worked in-house for Sports Art and Nordstrom and Brooks for a short time. Yeah. They have their own team in-house and they don't work with a design agency. So it's just kind of like, depending on if the company wants to hire it out or not.
Yeah.
Hire out that talent or not.
And so before I cut you off, go to the next part, the biggest lesson you learned while working for others.
You know, it's, you're working for other people. So, you know, it's on their time and it's on their clock and, it's just different. It's, sometimes it's really hard to work. I mean, I discovered that it was really hard for me to work for other people, cause it's what they want and it's not always what you want. And,
kind of have to grit your teeth when they want to go in a different direction than you want to go.
Yeah. You, sometimes you might, as a designer, you know, you might want to, you present something that you think is really rad and awesome. And either the art director, creative director doesn't like it as much, or wants you to push in a different direction, or, and it's just not, so you have to like, just kind of like, okay, sounds good. No problem. I got you. Lemon squeezy. Here we go again. I will scrap that and start over. It's that, but that's also what the clients do too. So, you know, sometimes you get it all the way out to the client and the client doesn't like it. And that's just normal, you know, turn and burn, you know, it's a subjective world of graphic design. Some might say, but, thank goodness we've got some data and, you know, if we know our target demographic well enough, sometimes you can use that as a proof point as to why, you know, your design is good. And then we're not designing for them, the client, or designing for their client's target demographic.
Yeah.
So it's just the nature of the business. And I don't know, I just discovered early on that I probably wasn't going to be a very good butt in a chair 9 to 5.
Yeah. Makes sense. Once you get to know you, that makes sense. You know, you're a very independent, driven person. And I think too, it's important to know that like graphic design is art, right? And art is often very emotional or emotionally driven. And we have certain feelings around the art or the colors or whatever. And so I'm sure getting feedback, especially if it's negative feedback, is hard to have with your own art, right?
Yeah, you sometimes have to remind yourself that it's not for you. It's not your art, it's for them. Mm-hmm. And remove yourself and not try to take it personally.
Yeah, it's not your baby.
not yours.
Okay, so this is probably one of the harder questions. Describe agency life in one sentence.
Agency life is awesome in a lot of ways and like crazy in another way. Like it's awesome because you get to be in contact with so many talented people. Like the talent pool is like amazing. These people have like the most rad backgrounds. But the craziness of it is like the kind of ball busting churning of it all. Like you have to turn and burn on things really fast in a fast paced world. And you know, it goes up, you know, back and forth between, you know, internal reviews and then external reviews. And
fast moving.
It's very fast paced. And trying to do good work around a fast pace can be really challenging, but it makes you probably really good at it. You know, you get really good at it. But it's doesn't always lend time to like think about the problem. So like you would normally like to, you just have to like, all right, this is my first idea. And you kind of have to just kind of get something out the door and run with it. Yeah. Good enough.
Here we go.
Go. Deadline is here.
Right. Oh man. Yeah. I'm sure that was crazy, but I'm sure that you're happy to be now you have pretty much your own agency, which we'll talk about more in, you know, later episodes and whatnot.
I met a lot of really cool people in agency life though.
Yeah.
Really cool.
And a lot of those people you're still in contact today, right? All on the contact list.
Yeah. Never burn a bridge.
No.
Always stay top of mind.
Oh yeah. All right. So my next question is, so you got laid off at one point in your career as a designer and
laid off, let go, fired. I've been all of the things.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that happens in life in general, but what was the last time you got laid off? Right. Oh, that was when you first started toying with the idea of starting your own business, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I've always had a business license on the side and I would always do some side work, but it was about late 2015 when I got laid off for the last time. So I thought I was at my dream job. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I was like hit the Mecca here where I was working for a fitness brand, a fitness equipment manufacturer, and I was a graphic designer for them. And I got to come in, they already had a new logo. They had just paid for that, but I got to come in and take that and be able to take that logo and create the branding for everything from their new website, sales slicks, emails, trade shows, you know, you name it. I was doing it for them. And I thought I had really hit the jackpot as a graphic designer that I got to do design work for a fitness brand. Well, that company ended up going through a reorg at some point about maybe almost a year in. And, you know, I wasn't the right fit for their new org and it was really disheartening and I didn't get to have a seat table. And so I remember getting called in and they're like, thanks for everything you've done for us. Looks beautiful, but unfortunately we've decided to go in a new direction. And I was like, dang,
that sucks.
That sucks. And like, I always ask the question after getting laid off or anything like that. I'm like, what could I have done differently?
Yeah.
To have, you know, kept my job.
What'd you come up with?
They're like, it wasn't you, it was us. And we just decided to go in a new direction and you do beautiful work. We like your work. You're fun to be around, but sorry.
So was that better than if it would have been something that you had done?
I don't know, but I just remember, you know, it was an interesting conversation and just was what it was. And it was right around the holidays. It was like a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. And I was like, blast. Okay.
That was recently after you got married too, right?
It was like a couple months after.
Yeah.
I was like, dang. Oh, man. Yeah. No, it was really disheartening. I really, you know, thought I had found home there, being an in-house, but you know, I'd kind of set them up for success, right? Like I had set up all the templates. I'd set up everything. They were ready to rumble and they felt that they could probably get that work, all that design work now done at a junior rate, you know, more of maintaining rather than needing a senior designer to bust all that stuff out. So I get it from a business perspective. I completely get it, but it definitely was like a hard knock, like, ugh. And that was like when the moment where I was like, man, I am so tired of not being in control of my destiny. It's bananas. So the hell with that. And I was like, I'm going to redo my website. I'm going to make this happen and I'm going to go, you know, I think I'm going to start being a business owner. Like the hell with this. Like I'm going to go into business for myself. Awesome. And so I made a business plan, and the next 6 years have been quite the ride.
Yeah. You went from you did some contract work here and there for a while and started taking on all of your own clients with Amber Design. And now here we are.
The goal was to just go direct with businesses. I didn't want to work for an agency, design agency, and I didn't want to work for a placement agency. Yeah. So the goal was to kind of work towards working directly with businesses and not having a middleman.
Yeah. So you solopreneured it for a while with that, where you were the only designer, the only person in all of your business dealings and whatnot. But recently you've been growing. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So obviously for a while, my business plan was just to try to work towards self-employment. So the first year was more like 80-20, 80% W-2, 20% 1099. And then the next year was like kind of 50-50. And then the third year I'd worked 80-20 the other way. So 80% of my work was through 1099 and only, 20% was W-2 work. And then it was upon actually moving to Marysville here out of like the bubble of, Seattle and Redmond sort of Bellevue territory of commuting, that I was like ripping off that band-aid to go completely solopreneur.
Yeah. So the commute was no longer going to be worth it.
No. So, March of 18 was when I was like, all right, here we go. Like, I'm gonna go full board into this. I pretty much told my husband, I was like, give me 2 years. I fall on my face and don't make X salary overall, I will go take a design gig for somebody else. But give me a little bit to kind of get this thing started. So yeah. In March of 18, to just this year, I was a solopreneur. I did everything from the dialing for dollars, so biz dev to, consults, bringing them in, doing the work, doing the project management, accounts payable, and taxes. And then, it was just this year that I started getting my reputation had started to grow and I couldn't keep up with it all. And so, that, and also having a baby this year, my second son, I needed help. And so I hired Rachel to help me with some office coordinating. And I worked towards finding some really good, solid designers to help bring on to help me with the overflow and some of the work. And so this year I've grown my business, and my team. And kind of long story short, that's kind of how I kind of slowly transitioned and built, kind of scaling at a slow pace.
Yeah, I think that's important to note, is that like it didn't happen overnight. You didn't go from like, I got laid off, now I have to figure this out, to where you are now, like Amber Design. You just, you're adding all these things to your business and these people, like,
yeah, kind of did them
go in increments.
Yeah, I kind of did in these interesting stages where I was like, all right, I'm going to do it this. I'm going to move towards, transition into solopreneurship, and I'm going to do solopreneurship for 3 years. And now I'm doing that. And I'm in the middle of another transition of transitioning more into business ownership and a team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it, like, each one of those increments or each one of those levels, like, you decided like, okay, can I do this? I need to prove that I can do it at this rate or at this level to myself. Mm-hmm. And then you prove yourself and you're like, okay, next level, like switch that 80-20 to 20-80 and everything. And so it's cool. It's been cool to watch you go through that. Cause like I said, I met you in 2015 around the time you did get laid off. And I remember you telling me, I got laid off today. We were working out, I think, that day together. Like, and you told me that.
It was quite the day.
Yep. But you persevered, and that's what this is all about. And that's what part of what makes your journey to where you are now really interesting. So
thank you.
All right. So now you're a CEO and you oversee designers, contractors, and me. What are some of your goals now for the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, sure. As far as a business goes, my focus is going to adjust to probably bigger clients, less projects, but with a little bit bigger clients. I'm interested in working with more like venture capitalists for startups, mm-hmm. and working with some holding companies. I'm interested in just growing my business to that next layer and next level, while continuing to work with a really stellar team. Kind of create my version of my agency style of, you know, my fun and energetic and like positive place to work and be with. It's just, I kind of just want to keep growing and see what I can do with this business. I've actually kind of started working with a contract by commission business development guy, and we'll see if that can, anything that can conjure up anything. But yeah, I'm really excited to see where it goes and that next evolution of my business is kind of what I'm calling it. And it's going to be an interesting ride, I know.
Yeah, broadening your scope and your reach to more than just the smaller businesses, because those have been what have helped you grow so much. And
oh yeah, you know, like I am so, so thankful. It's like, it's kind of fun to like watch even like my portfolio of work. I worked for a lot of like small mom and pop shops for a long time. And then I kind of worked my way up, and now I'm working for a lot of medium to large companies. And, you know, now I'm kind of like working up to the next level. So it's just kind of like fun to kind of see how those portfolio pieces enabled me to kind of like be able to tap into the next level.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's going to be really fun to see where that all goes.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. So that's the end of, or not the end, but that's your story. And I'm so excited that we got to talk about that, because there's so many other things like that we touched on throughout this episode that I think we'll be able to expand on in whole episodes by themselves, which we already have plans for. So any closing thoughts before we wrap this episode up from you, just about, you know, your story and what you want it to bring to people who listen?
Oh, I'm just super stoked. I can't wait to share some of the tips and insights and stories and craziness that I've been through and persevered through throughout the years. Some of it's kind of like interwoven with some personal life and my business journey and discovery of when I wanted to become a business, you know. You're going to really like it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be really entertaining, and you're going to really like this fun bit Amber energy that we're going to have for you.
Yeah, I love it. All right, everyone. So this is the first episode of Amber Energy, as you know. So thank you so much for listening. We are a new podcast, and we're kind of a different podcast because we're for designers, and we're also for business owners and entrepreneurs and just kind of everyone in between. So if you are any of those people and you enjoyed this podcast, please like the podcast, subscribe to it, give us a 5-star review, tell us what you like about it. You can find Amber Design on Instagram and reach out to us if you want to there. That is at Awesome Amber Design. And then if you want to hear about a specific subject, Amber knows pretty much everything there is to know about anything in the design and branding world. So any podcast subject you want to hear, reach out that way. You can also click the link in the bio or go to www.awesomeamber.com and reach out to us that way. And that goes for you too if you need some design work done, right? So that's about it. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Cheers, make a great day.